two chapters in the first one's in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 4. So if you'd like to know what's there and follow along, you're welcome to turn to those two books, 1 and 2 Timothy, both using chapter 4 out of both of those. Some sobering words, actually. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Whoa, yeah, that's not a pleasant reading, is it? Yuck. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Yipes! Feel encouraged yet? You like to come to church to be encouraged, don't you? There you go. Wow, doesn't look so good. Why is he saying such disparaging things to the church? Be alert. Be conscientious. Be diligent to know the truth. Now let's go over to chapter 4. Maybe we'll feel better after we read 2 Timothy 4. And we'll start with verse number 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Well, that didn't help much, did it? Yipes! Timothy twice now in his letters has given this warning that if we're not careful, we will be deceived. If we are not careful, we will be distracted from truth. The world and the enemy is very good at that. And that's why he's saying this. He said some are going to follow the enemy. Some are going to pretend to be right, but they're not. Just because you pretend to be right doesn't make you right. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. There's things we need to be alert to. And then finally, in verse 5, he puts it together here for us. And he says, but you, who's you? Who's us? The church, yeah, the people of God. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now he's speaking directly to Timothy, who is to be a faithful minister of the gospel. And in him, Timothy is to teach these things to the church. So that you being the followers of God, you, Timothy, are a follower of God. The people that you're leading and teaching are followers of God. Be alert. Stay alert so that you will not be distracted and led astray. Last Sunday, I talked about the power and the wonder of commitment. That we have to be a fully committed people of God. And in that, we learned that there are things that can distract us from our commitments. And we have to guard that. So our commitments, we said, show what we value, right? Our commitments shape our life, help us to become whoever we are, that is based on our values. The values that we have and our commitments determine our future, but distractions can get in the way. They can throw us off. We've seen it happen. We know people that's happened to. And I praise God that you and I are here this morning to demonstrate a commitment to the things of God. But we are not exempt from the attacks of evil and falsehood, deception and lies. We're around it every day. and society, through the influence of the evil one, society is trying to teach us that right is wrong and wrong is right and that God is a myth. Wow. It's all around us. So we have to know and be alert to the truth. We have to stay focused. We have to deal with the things around us in a way that we are not set off in a different direction than God's way. The early Christian movement, way back when the church first started, was referred to as the people of the way. All right? And so when they would talk about Christians, they would talk about the people of the way. That sometimes was a compliment and sometimes was not for the early Christian church. But it was appropriate in its reality that the way is the way of Jesus. The way is the way of the cross. The way is the gospel of God implemented to us. And so we must stay on the way. In fact, the Bible says this, that wide is the way or the path to destruction, but narrow is the way to life. That we must walk that one way. And Jesus said, I am the way. So that's an appropriate. Now, in later years, the way became a cult. So we kind of separated ourselves from that term of the way for a few generations. But I want to tell you, there is one way. And if we get off of that one way, we are liable to begin to swallow anything that the world is offering us. So there are some essentials. I'm going to have a cough drop here. And to illustrate the essentials of keeping on, keeping on, fighting the good fight, winning the race, there's some essentials we didn't know. I'm going to need... Are you praying yet? Okay, thank you. I'm going to need a secretary. And so I couldn't think of a better one than one of our own secretaries. Kay's busy, and Diane got elected. I was the only one voting, but she got elected. So if you'd take the secretary seat, and Nate, I'm gonna need a runner, someone who wants to run the race of God, that wants to stay on the right path, that wants to win the prize at the end. So come on up here with me, and you know, we have the ability to carry a lot of things with us, but according to the Bible, we are going to have to put off distractions and focus on one thing, the things of God. So the things we have to focus on would be this, and I'm going to have you write on one paper plate there, and that would be our purpose. Our purpose is love God, right? So just write love God on that plate, and that's primary, right? If we're going to be a follower of Jesus and a part of the way, we're going to have to love God. So if you'd hold on to that, I don't want to make it too heavy for you. Let's make sure there's just one. There we go. Okay, that's our purpose. Okay, so I want you to stay focused on this purpose. All right. Then our mission is serve God. So we need a plate that says serve God on it. And those two things walk hand in hand. Our mission, our purpose, love Him. Our mission, serve Him. Right? If we're going to walk the way and we're going to put off distractions, those are the two things we've got to focus on. So put that in the other hand there. Now, those aren't too heavy for you, are they? You can manage that. Okay, you're not gonna collapse under the weight.
I better, man.
Okay, all right. So, you could actually run with those. You can move. You can get somewhere. So if I asked you to run down the aisle, and I won't do that.
Okay, good.
Maybe. I bet even with weak knees, you could get a trot going.
Oh, yeah.
Probably there. And these are not going to be a problem, right? Because you're focused. I just got to carry these two things,
yep.
And that's it. Good. You're in good shape. But there are some things that come along in life that kind of make it difficult. For example, you know, if you were to have a grudge you were carrying against somebody, that would be tough. Let's give him a grudge, okay? Because lots of Christians carry grudges, okay? And you know what it does for them?
Wears them down.
That it does nothing except wear them down. So we're gonna now. You can only have one. You can't stack them. You can't stack them because you can't put grudge in front of God, and you can't put grudge in front of serve God. So,
you put it behind. In the background.
How about just hold it with your elbow there?
All right.
You got it. Good. So that could get in the way, and then the pleasures of life. You know, things I want, things I want to do, things I want to feel, things I want to collect. And, you know, people get focused on that. Even Christian people get really focused on pleasures and say, you know what? So we have pleasures of life that can distract us. And you know, you can't put that over there. You're not going to do that. No. So we got to put it somewhere. Let's put it under this one right there. Hold that with your elbow there. Okay, you comfortable? Okay, you can still manage, right? Okay. How about my rights? You know, everybody wants to focus on my rights, right? You know, my rights are more important than anybody else's rights, and we can, you know, and whatever it takes to have my rights. And you know, somehow we just, that doesn't seem to fit there, and it doesn't, because if you're focused on this, which is so easy to do in our world, then that interrupts this. So we certainly don't want to stack them up. We'll just carry this in a different department. And can you put that between your knees?
Hold
no.
Okay.
These
don't fit.
Between
my shoes.
You're ruining this for me.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay. All right, we'll just put it up here then. All right. Okay. So, but you're still interested in this.
Yeah,
whoops.
Down,
yeah, so. Can you stand still, please?
All right.
We can't put it on top of that and that, but you still got this, okay? We're still okay, because you still got this on your plate there. Sometimes we get distracted by false doctrines. False beliefs, like God is only love. God is love, but he's not only love. He's a just God. He's righteous. He's the jealous God. He's good in every way, but he's good in justice and in mercy both. And sometimes we don't want to accept it. I just want to love God and him love me, and I don't want to have to deal with anything else. So we embrace false doctrines, and but that wouldn't work. We still, okay, there you go. All right. I really wanted one. I should have picked somebody that didn't have, you know, curved legs like that. yeah, that's true. You know, unforgiveness can really get in our way. Not only a grudge is where you want to get even. Unforgiveness is just like, I'm never going to forget. Are you okay? Okay. Unforgiveness. So cross your legs. Can you kind of, yeah, let's stick that right there. Now see, you should be able to juggle all of this. Now what I want you to do is run the race and win. All right, let's get going. I want you to, you know, you don't want to do it? Is there a problem here? I think you have a problem. You see, you still want this, but you want to hold on to all these other distractions in your life. And you know what? It's really hard to run like that. The Word of God said, the Apostle Paul said, I have run the race. I have finished. I've won. I've fought the good fight. And You're in no condition to run the race. Mm-mm. Could you just stand there the rest of the sermon for me? All right. Well, okay. So let's just hold on to those two things there. So we're going to have to remove these distractions. Oh, one more. Yes. Oh, you're free. Free indeed. You know, when the truth sets you free, you are free indeed. So we're going to have to remove distractions from our life. Here's what Paul said, well, the writer of Hebrews said. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life and faith, let's strip off everything that slows us down. All the stuff that wouldn't really amount to a hill of beans in the end, all the stuff that would keep us from loving God with all of our heart and serving Him with our whole being, let's just strip that stuff off, he says, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. All right, so these are the reasons of our existence right here. Values, the values we must hold on to. So God gave us a purpose, He gave us a mission, and if you don't remember these things, it's going to get harder and harder to finish the course. And we want to stay the course. Our commitment needs to be strong, and we need to finish the course, determined to put off those distractions. But here's the problem. Sometimes we're doing life, and we forget. We forget about those. We think his life is just paper plates. Yeah. It's more, and we forget. So we've got to remember the reason. So loving God, right on the back of there, because he first loved us. He first loved us. Don't forget that. Even if you're feeling down, you're feeling lost, you're feeling lonely, you're wondering what is life all about, we've got to remember the reason for our existence. So love God because he first loved us. And this is serve God because He gave first. We didn't give to Him first. He gave to us first. Our response is giving back. So we can't forget the reason that we love God. He first loved us. We can't forget the reason we serve God. He gave first in me. So we can't separate all those. We've got to remember. We can't keep our eyes just on right now either. We've got to think about the future. These things are eternal things. They're not temporary things. They're eternal things. And so we can't forget. But there's another problem. So you're carrying this purpose, remembering the reason, and we do life throughout the week. And here's the problem with life. Life gets hard. And wow, the darts that are coming from the enemy and all of that, and we're still believers, we still know the reason, but boy, we took a beating this week, okay? The world's been hard, and you know what? We're a weak being. Our emotions are weak. Our feelings are weak. Our resolutions can get weak, and the world just keeps beating on us, and pretty soon we still got the faith, but we're running slow. I've been beat on. I'm running slow. And so here's what God says to do about that. If we're gonna finish this race, He says we've got to be renewed daily. So daily, this happens to us. Has this ever happened to you? Yeah, you're still a believer. You're still, but you've slowed way down. You've slowed way down because of all the hits. The world is a rugged place. And so he says here in 2 Corinthians, therefore do not lose heart. I might be battered a bit, but don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day. So we go to the king. We go and we do and we... I'm going to turn these in. It's the end of the day or the end of the week. And So I'm going to go to God's throne. You're not God. Don't get any ideas. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to say, God, I'm tired. I'm weary. I've been beat on. I'm feeling weak. I'm not running so good. So I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to pray to Him. I'm going to begin to sing my worship songs. I'm going to begin to take time to be quiet and know that He is God. And I'm going to turn these in. But you know what God wants to do daily? He wants to give us a new one. So could I trade in these rags and get two new ones, please? Because I'm feeling tired, worn. And you know what God does? You know, I read this morning. Better is one day in His courts or in His presence. Better is one. When I decide to enter His presence, He does something in me. He renews. He restores. He comes to set the way right. He makes the path straight. And you know what? If I don't turn those in on a regular basis and get renewed through His Word, through prayer, through singing and worship and fellowship with Christian believers, if I don't do all that, then I'm carrying around these, and guess what? It gets worse every day. Worse every day. And by the, you know, I keep neglecting the renewal. And do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yeah. Do you love Him? Yeah. Do you believe me? I do it with a broken and downward heart. But He renews us. Somehow, some miraculous way, when we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and we spend time with Him in any way we can, He just takes those rags and exchanges them for something. Yeah. So here we go. You know what? I'm not in heaven yet. It's going to be a rough ride. But He can renew us day by day. That's an intentional thing, isn't it?
I'm renewed today.
Yeah. Woo. Let's give a hand for good old Nate here and our secretary. Thank you. I have to say, when you were carrying all those distractions, it was not a pretty sight.
No.
Yeah. Let's not become weary in our commitments. Our commitment especially to God. Don't become weary. Will we reach a point where we can choose weary or renewed? Yes, we will. Okay? In this world, Jesus said, you will have troubles. He knows it's a broken world. He knows it hasn't been redeemed yet and made new. He knows what we face. In fact, the Bible says that He endured every temptation common to man. He knows how broken it is. He's brokenhearted about it, but He's preparing a way. Preparing a way. Don't lose heart. Paul told this to Timothy. Because there are people, there are ways of the world that are distracting to us. False. What did we read? Yeah, remember what we started with? It wasn't a pretty sight, was it? It wasn't something that we want to hear necessarily. Let me get back here to it. Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. That's ugly. That's stuff we don't want. There will be hypocritical liars. Consciences have been seared like a hot iron. You know, did you notice the conscience of our world is not very active anymore? So exactly what he's talking about here. And then warns us there in 2 Timothy again, chapter 4. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine or truths. Instead, they'll gather around them a number of teachers to say whatever they want them to say. And they'll turn away from truth and unto myths. And wow, that's what we're up against every week, every day. Every day we need to be renewed. We need to run the race with perseverance. Don't get distracted. Don't accept lies. We need to be renewed, and we need to resist. Galatians 6:9 says, "Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Don't become weary in doing good. Are you ready for another boat story? It's been a while. I was on a roll there for a while. I had so many sermon things on boats, and I just got another one yesterday. So we decided we're going to go pontoon life rather than speedboat life. So I put the speedboat up for sale and been finagling with people and so forth. And finally I had a bite, and he's real serious, really, really wanted it. And I said, "But I want to take a ride in it first." I told him, you know, what the issues were. And so I've never had trouble starting the boat. It always started fine. We went over to Rogers Pond and launched. Drifted away from the dock. Turned the key. Nothing. So we're sitting out here, and the more we're trying to figure it out, and this is a guy I'm trying to sell the boat to. The more we're trying to figure it out, the further we're drifting out. In Jim style, I had taken everything out of the boat I'm selling, like the oar, poles, anything of use I took out of the boat. So finally we gave up and said, I said, "Well..." My son-in-law was with me. I'm there. The guy that wants to buy the boat's there. I said, "I guess I'm going to have to jump in and just pull the rope and swim it to shore. What else are we going to do?" So I started out of the boat. I'm in the water, you know, up to about here, be ready to jump in and suffer and do this. And another boat pulled up. "Are you having trouble?" "Yeah, I'm just about ready to dive in here." "Are you having to?" "Yes." "Well, we'll help you. Let me drop this whatever off. I'll come back with a rope, and we'll somehow get you back to the dock." And they did. They were very gracious. Boaters, by the way, are pretty gracious toward one another if you're in trouble. They maneuvered us back so we could get it back to the dock. And they gave their time of what they could be out playing to help. They gave their energy. And finally, when it was all over, I said, "You know what? There's still some good people in the world. People that are concerned for others. People that will help others." And we expressed our appreciation so much for that. God's calling us to be good. Do not become weary in doing good. Now, I don't know anything about these people. I don't know if they were Christian people or not, but they had the sense of it's right to do what is good. And it mattered. It mattered. God says, do not become weary in doing good. Do not get distracted from running the race. God teaches us that our commitments are important and valuable. He teaches us that we should have the same testimony that the Apostle Paul had when he knew life was just about done for him. And I'll tell you, Paul had a lot of challenges, more than any of us here have ever been through. Beatings, shipwrecks, prison, accusations, stoned, all of these things that he had lots of experiences in. Yet, he kept his commitment. He ran the race. He kept his eyes on the goal. And he's teaching Timothy, and he teaches us today, that how important the end testimony needs to be. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now I await the crown that will be given me. And you know the weird thing about his endurance? We think endurance is, you know, we think of that as a rough way to go. I've got to endure this. I've all of his endurance was done with joy. That's the weird part, you know, when you look at his life story. He had to endure, but he always did it with joy. Do you know why? Because he realized how much Jesus had done for him. And it was his honor to suffer for Christ as well. He considered it an honor to do that and to promote the kingdom of God in any way that he could. It was his honor to do that. I think that'll keep us on track, won't it? Love God, serve God, and do it realizing we are honoring the King of Kings. We're participating with the King of Kings, and the endurance is well worth it. I don't know. Some days you wonder, how could he say, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, when you face hardships of any kind? Rejoice. Now, he's not saying that all the hardships were good. And some hardships we face are not necessarily for the kingdom purposes. They're just of a broken world. But if we have a kingdom mindset, our eyes focused on things above, our hearts focused on things above, and we learn that we can suffer for the sake of our testimony and the gospel of Christ, the work of God in our world. Wish I had my phone with me. No, it's not saved on yours. I saved a thing I found yesterday, or the day before. It said this, something along these lines. People in Cambodia or one of these other nations, of people of the faith, know that if they proclaim Jesus and evangelize, that they'll have a member of their body cut off as a punishment. But they still do it. The people of China, if they give witness to Christ and evangelize people with the gospel, they're in danger of, and I forget what it said, just some horrific dangers there. And it says, and it said, and yet they do it. And it kept going through various things like that, and then it got to us. And it says, we, if we promote Jesus and we evangelize for the gospel, we feel that it could be awkward. So we don't do it. There are people around the world that are so in love with Jesus and find it such an honor to serve him and live for him and walk the path and run the race that they will literally sacrifice themselves to do it. And here we are saying, I don't feel comfortable doing that. It feels awkward to me, so I won't bother. In other words, we don't feel it an honor to suffer for Christ. The reward for those who faithfully run the race, the reward is incomprehensible. So, I guess to wrap it all up, I just want to say today, keep our commitments. Finish the race. Keep the faith. And we win. Lord, there are days when we're tired. There are days when things just don't go right and the boat just won't start. There are days we can't figure out what's going on. There are times that maybe we question and say, is it worth all the effort? But Lord, you're just as much God during those times as you are any other time. And salvation is the key to our existence, our purpose, our mission. And so, Lord, I'm praying today that you'll help us to run the race. Help us to win the prize. Help us, Lord, to fight the good fight. Not just fight, but fight the good fight. Help us to keep the faith. And when it's all said and done, which really won't be all that long for any of us, when it's all said and done and we stand before your throne, that you will be able to say, come in. Well done, good and faithful servant. I knew you. Help us to run toward that goal, I pray. By faith and surrender. I love you, Lord. If you love him this morning, just tell him. Tell him. Amen.